The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Live off the record with Chivago Line is brought to you by Anthony's Bar and Grill, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, Central Bank, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Peter Roker's Gas Station, Popeyes, Prince Masters, RBF Bank and Trust, Bronze Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, and
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio on Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers remain the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. Well, we continue our series of shows on personal financial management this week and dealing with a very interesting issue anywhere you go. And that's the issue of credit management. You know, credit has been one of the oldest features of money operations in human history. And it's been around a long time. It continues to be around. It continues to be a prevalent part of the financial doings of individuals and businesses, the government, etc. And many people will tell you their lives have been made better off because of credit, because it gives them the ability to reach into the future and snatch some cash out of the future, bring it into the present so that they could consume more in the present. Later on, there is a bill to pay for doing that, but it does allow people to consume more now than their present financial means allows them to. Future earnings to do it. Then there are some people who will tell you one of the worst things that happened to me was delving into credit, whether it was the credit card or the mortgage or the bank loan or the business loan or whatever. And then all the wise people will say, well, you know, it's like any tool on planet Earth, it depends upon the user. Every day in their professional capacities to come and talk to us about this whole notion of credit management from the whole perspective of our country economy, regulatory environment, and even the credit bureau management of the situation. So we have Ambrosine Higgs, financial Office of the Financial Services Ombudsman, whose focus is going to be today on financial services consumer protection. We have Mrs. Latasha Campbell, Assistant Manager, External Relations Unit, with a focus on the prudential behavior regarding credit management, and from the CRIF, that's the Credit Bureau people. They'll get learn more about that. Marissa Nixon, the general manager, is with us. Welcome, 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 ladies.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to the listening audience, and good afternoon to you, Mr. Lang.
I didn't do any disservice to that general introduction of this matter of credit, did I?
No, I don't think you did at all, Mr. Lang. You summed it up well.
Okay, and to be clear, it's a huge part of the greasing of the wheel of our economic engine, no?
For sure. For sure it is. And I think what you preface the conversation with is important in terms of the duty that we as individuals take on whenever we make these determinations to, you know, advance ourselves with the use of credit. So I think that's important also, right? That we are taking an opportunity, but with every blessing, like the old people say, sometimes there's a burden, right? And so when we take on this credit, you mentioned that duty and what as it relates to our duty in entering such arrangements.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was speaking a little quickly when I mentioned it, but I want to, I always find that when I've done seminars and credit has been a part of anything I dealt with, when you mention the people, the reality that, because one time I was at a store with my son when he was about 6 or 7, and he asked me for something out of the store. And I said, well, no, I don't have the money for that right now. He said, pull out your credit card. I said, son, you know, a credit card isn't free money. It's me telling the credit card company that you make this purchase for me today, and I will pay you tomorrow. And the longer I take the pay, the more I'm going to have to pay them because I use their money. He said, oh. I said, so it's not free. It's available, but it isn't free. And so a lot of people have to understand that with any credit, any loan, any time you borrow money from somebody, you have just put a tax on your future.
That is correct.
And as long as you can pay it back in the future with interest, because people, many of the people who you borrow from, they're going to require some fee, some rent on that money in the future. Then if you can pay it back, that's okay. But because you have it now, that credit now, if you can't figure out what the future is going to hold in terms of getting it back, that's a challenge, right?
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, now is the perfect time to you know, segue to my colleague, Ms. Nixon. Because as everyone is now aware, I think well appreciate, our credit behavior is now being monitored. And this is Ambrosine speaking, Mr. Lang, from the Office of the Ombudsman.
Yes, ma'am.
And so our credit behavior is now being monitored. So we have even more of a responsibility to ensure that our financial health and wellness from credit perspective is where we want it to be. Mm. And I think Ms. Nixon can give more information on what the credit bureau is and why your financial health and wellness, something that the ombudsman is always concerned about, is important.
Yes, yes, please, please, ma'am.
So CRIF Information Services Bahamas is, we operate as a credit bureau here in the Bahamas. What we do is we aggregate information from all lending institutions, and then we provide an information that we have aggregated just basically on subjects, their payment histories, frequency of payments. We do that to basically come up with an analysis, and it provides a score, or it provides an analysis for a lender to see how compliant you are with paying back institutions, paying your bills on time, basically just giving an analysis of your credit worthiness. So we provide the system that allows that. In us doing that, we also then become educators for consumers to make them understand that you can also monitor your credit. So we offer a system and we offer a service, whereas you can get a free credit report once per year. If you need to have your report more than once per year, you can also pay for a credit report. Credit reports start at $15. To get a credit report immediately, you can apply online or you can come in to our credit bureau. We are currently located at East Bay Street, but we are also from that area. We'll give more information on that on our website for persons who will need to know later on. But currently, you can come into our offices on East Bay Street, 8311 East Bay Street. And you can come in and you can apply for a free credit report. You can assess where you stand, how credit institutions look at you, evaluate your credit worthiness, verify that the information is being recorded properly on you, make sure that all the information is up to date, because that's a part of our role, ensuring that institutions are making sure that person's information is up to date, recorded correctly, the information is sound and efficient, and it is giving, it's allowing more persons to have access to credit, basically. So this in itself is a very good opportunity for consumers. You can look at it, some people don't look at it as the best thing, but it actually allows you not to have to worry about the overlending, making sure that your pay equals out to what is being provided to you. As I said, we do balance your credit worthiness. And that is something that was not being done before. You had no way of verifying whether, okay, this person has a loan at somewhere else without just calling an institution. Now you have something more reliable where you can actually seek to find that information, and lenders can actually verify, okay, this person is credit worthy based on the information we see here.
Now, can I ask a question, a couple of questions actually. First, CRIF, is CRIF a acronym?
No, CRIF is not an acronym. The acronym itself is basically CRIF Information Services.
Okay, so that's the name of the bureau. That's the name of the... okay, good. What all institutions does CRIF keep credit information on for a consumer? Because, you know, people have credit all over the place, whether it's a car company, a financial institution, a bank, could be an insurance company, depending. It could be some lending institution. It could be furniture stores. What all institutions do you keep credit information on?
Okay, so currently we record for all commercial banks, for mm-hmm. all credit unions, for mm-hmm. all lending institutions, so mm-hmm. money lending institutions. Okay. For any third-party institutions, so I'm going based on the legislations, and then we also mm-hmm. have the utilities. Currently, okay. all of the utilities are not reporting to us, mm-hmm. But most of them are. Either they've already signed agreements with us, or they are currently going through the process to report to us. Okay. I think all except water and sewage, but all are either in current negotiations or going through the process and reporting to us. The money lending side of it, we do have a few of the auto loan companies on board already also. And then it's also, like I said, again, it's a process of just going through contracts with other institutions to make sure that they're on board. But altogether, we have more than 26 institutions that are already reporting to us. That includes all of the commercial banks, all of the credit unions, several money lending institutions that include auto loan companies. And as I said, again, we have three of the utility companies. One is currently going through the process of the contract with us. So that'll be four of them. And then we have one that is not on board with us as yet.
So it's pretty safe to say that there is a fairly comprehensive coverage of the nodes of borrowing of consumers in the Bahamas, given the categories and numbers of institutions you have.
Yes, sir. That's okay. correct to say that. That's correct to say
that. All right, folks, so you know what I'm saying, right? That means you're covered. There's lots of information about the extent of our credit, credit history and credit behavior being monitored today. That's really what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I wanted you just to, and you mentioned it, and I think some people have a fairly good idea of it. But let's talk about credit worthiness, because ultimately what institutions are using your information for is to find out, is Zhivago lying? Is this one a credit worthy person based on their behavior as tracked, monitored by your organization?
Yes.
What do we mean by credit worthiness?
So creditworthiness basically extends from various ways. Creditworthiness means your behavior, being able, this is one of the, I would say, the most important aspects of credit reporting, the behavior, meaning you paying your loans on time. If your loans are due on the 30th, you're paying them on the 30th and not on the 2nd or the 3rd. If you have an agreement with the bank to pay 5 business days after, up to 10 business days after, and it's not late, you still need to check your credit report to make sure it's being reported that way. Because a computer, if your loan is due on the 30th and you pay it on the 5th, doesn't give you grace. It doesn't get, has no way of giving you that grace period. So it will be considered 5 business days late.
I think it's important to note also, Mr. Lang, you know, that different institutions, you know, they look at the credit report, as Mrs. Nixon would have said, in terms of giving them some insight. But they still do have a level of discretion. And so, you know, as you talk to your institutions and you're formalizing any sort of arrangement, you know, you want to be transparent. You want to be able to speak to what's on your credit report, so you're well familiar with what might be there. Because again, you know, there's no final determination just based on the credit report.
Credit score.
Commercial banks look at a wide array of matters, and you know, it varies from bank to bank. And so, you know, a part of our education component at the central bank is around ensuring that people are well equipped to have the conversations they need to have and to be transparent. Because if you can explain that, as Ms. Nixon would have said, you know, I've been paying, you will see that it's being paid. But, you know, I was paying 2 days later and, you know, I've since, you know, adjusted that behavior. Your loan officer, whomever you're discussing the relationship with, will be able to take that into consideration.
You know, we started the show by the show, these shows on Monday by talking about financial health check. And I think what you're saying is, you know, no doctor looking at your blood pressure alone says you are just a terribly unhealthy person. They look at a number of things, and a credit score is one of those critical, meaningful things you will look at in assessing a person's financial health.
But
as you say, an institution may look at other things because they could see in your credit score maybe a pattern that is explainable and not reflective of some dire lack of credit worthiness on your part, right?
Correct.
Yes. So to make it clearer, the last determination of whether you can receive some form of credit still lies with the institution. It doesn't lie with the results from your credit report. It just gives them a better idea of how credit worthy you are, of how they can basically, the extension of the loan they may give you, the percentage that they send that loan, the interest percentage. So extension meaning the term. They may say, okay, we need to give you a shorter term because of this. Or we may need to give you a little bit of, we can give you a longer term because we see you have a better credit history. We can give you a higher interest rate, or we can give you a lower interest rate because you've had a great history of paying back and paying your loans on time. So all of these things add up to performance. Basically, the amount of the loan, the extension of the loan that you may receive from an institution, or possibly the negative things, the maybe you cannot get a loan right now. Maybe we need to work on how you've been managing some of your credit portfolio. Let us see how we could better assist you in getting these loans together, paid on time. Maybe join your loans together, maybe pay off some of them. Get rid of some of these credit cards, because that also plays a big negative effect. The credit mix, having a lot of credit cards instead of just having a consumer loan or having a mortgage, credit cards actually help to lower your score. So all of these things impact your credit worthiness. So just having a better understanding, like you said, of how you manage your finances is very, very important. We assist you with that at the Credit Bureau, and we also, as she said, we work along very, very much so hand in hand with the central bank, and they are part of that education too.
You know, I was doing a a loan application for a business on one occasion that I was associated with. And I answered all the people questioned the way it's supposed to be answered. You know, someone from an institution, this was years ago, called the people and say, why does he give all this complete information? That's not helpful to you. And so they came and they riled me, right? Mm-hmm. I said, because if you don't give people all the accurate information to make it mm-hmm. for having been dishonest with the people, yes. and you do yourself a disservice, because if you're worthy of a loan, you shouldn't get it.
It's true, Mr. Lang.
Right? It's going to harm you in the future, because you're going to be backed up, can't pay it, and that's going to lead you into hell. I said, it's better for you to explain to people the totality of your circumstances so they can make a decision or clear decision and say, you know what, this is probably a marginal situation for us, but we're going to do it.
And Mr. Lang, I think it's important for the listening public to understand that, you know, banks and lenders are in business, you know, and so we may think that, you know, they have a certain objective or agenda. They really don't. They want to have healthy businesses, so they want to have healthy customers. And on a wider frame, oftentimes, I think sometimes we look at the small picture, but on a wider frame, you know, the central bank in its mandate is always concerned about how we look, how we stack up internationally, you know, even from a, you know, an industry perspective. So we want healthy consumers. We want a healthy industry. Banks want healthy patrons. And so when you have that sort of discourse and you're being as transparent as you can be, of course, you know, you're not only helping yourself, you're helping industry, you're helping us to look a certain way, even from a global perspective. And all of these things impact what our country looks like. You know, you as a mom and pop shop, you know, if you have people coming in and buying and there's commerce that is being supported because we're all healthy financially, there's a bigger picture to take into, you know, and so we want to be reminded of that as well.
And just to chime in, so Latasha Campbell here. So I can add to that from where Ambrosine left off, indicating that the central bank, based on our regulations, we take a risk-based approach. And factoring in that risk, the institutions, that being the commercial banks, the credit unions, all of which we supervise, they have risk ratings. So as each individual come in, a prospective client comes in seeking to get any type of credit facility, of course they leverage, as was previously indicated, the credit report. But internally, they have their own risk rating framework that is used. And when they use that, all of those components come together and they have a clear picture of who this individual is and what they can, any facility that they can offer to them. I can add too that they also take into account the total debt service ratio. And that shouldn't exceed the 50%. If they have a client in this possibility that may be out of scope, They need to seek guidance from the central bank in that vein. And they have a lot of credit facilities. Some of them were mentioned already in terms of your consumer loans. You have the credit cards, you have mortgages, you have overdraft facilities. And so, like I indicated, the risk rating framework is there, and it's there to help, as Ambrosine said, the consumer. And consumers, those who are listening in, should be encouraged to be open, to be honest, because it's important to know your reputation, your credit reputation, it follows you. And so at times, if you're trying to overextend yourself, it will be giving you a disservice in terms of moving in that vein. So the central bank, too, what we encourage as well is for persons to shop around. Because yes, we have the regulations. Yes, we have the guidelines. We have the guidance notes. But you can still have institutions in terms of their products, what they offer, the rate that they offer. It can vary. So it's up to the consumer to shop around and find the best fit in terms of which institution suits their needs.
And in the terms of shopping around, before you, one more input. It's very important for you to get your credit report and do that shop around instead of going to each institution and applying for a loan. Because all of these then also, it's impact your credit score because it seems as though you're a risky client if you're applying to several institutions at one time for various loans.
Okay.
So you want to come to the credit bureau, get your credit, your free credit report, so that you can then go to the institutions and get an assessment qualified to borrow.
That's really important to know because, so what you're saying, are you saying that our credit score can take a hit from an inquiry of multiple institutions, indicating that we have applied to them for a loan?
Yes, remember, similar to the central bank working on risk, similar as bank working on the risk assessment, the credit bureau also works on risk assessments. If we see someone in a month going to 5 or 6 institutions and applying for loans, it could be fraudulent activity. Either somebody is using your credit or you are using your credit incorrectly. You want to ensure that you are not overexposing yourself, as she would have said. And that really just means to you are not trying to borrow more than your income. You don't want to overexpose yourself. So this is why that debt ratio is also done internally in the bank along with the credit report score.
Right.
So you want to ensure that you, when you are shopping around, when you complete the application, automatically your credit report is pulled. You can actually pre-qualify yourself, ask what you qualify for, ask what your rating would be based on the credit report score that you are presenting to them.
To them,
along
the most
with,
recent, the
yes.
recent one you've applied for the most recent one,
yes.
and you're taking it to them to say, no need for you to pull my credit report. See one here.
Yes, and then when you've decided who is offering you the best rate, who's offering you the best service, then you can go ahead and complete that application to formally have your credit report pulled by that institution, because they're still going to pull it on their own, because anything could have changed between
sure.
the time you got the report and that report, and then complete your application for your loan.
That makes plenty sense. I should speak to Amber Zane's point about the impact of our personal collective credit behavior on the country itself. People may not know this, but in the early 90s, the world came out of recession. The U.S. recession recovery was much quicker than Canada. Canada took almost 10 years, basically, to come out of that significant economic decline that it suffered. You know why? Because the personal balance sheets of Canadians was heavily leveraged.
Mm-hmm.
They personally had a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And even while their economy was growing, it was taking a toll on the economic growth, because even with a little bit of improvement in their income, they had to pay off this debt that they had accumulated in those better years.
Right.
And so that's the way it happens with an economy.
Mm-hmm.
If we are heavily leveraged as a group, even if the economy is growing, we can't really do a lot because we don't have any space or room to move because we're paying off debt until we get some space by paying down sufficiently the debt.
Correct.
And from a prudential perspective, again, the central bank monitors credit facilities very consistently, monthly, quarterly, and meetings are held. Discussions are made, and policy is even amended, created, revisited based on the outcomes of the numbers that are seen. So
right.
it's monitored very closely.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break now, pay some regards to our sponsors, including the Central Bank of the Bahamas, which is the primary sponsor of this show today. But we want to come back and ask some additional questions of you. I could tell you, this is one of those issues I think people.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And we can talk about some of the complaints when you come back.
Please, I could see some people right now, like they just like all their body tense up and so forth. But we can help you. We can give you a massage when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't be that tense. This is good information to help you and I with better prudential behavior going forward. We'll be back right after this break.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we're talking about credit management, and we're doing that with the central representatives of the Central Bank of the Bahamas and the CRIF. And we're talking about how you and I can all pay better attention and practice better credit management behavior. I remember when I got my first loan, and it was a loan to buy a computer way back in the early 90s. Can you believe that? The computer's face had an orange color back then, and it cost me almost $3,000. And I took a loan. CIBC at the time was running a special program to help. It was one of the, when I got the approval, it was one of the most exciting things I could imagine. It was the first loan. And I remember when the first credit card came to me, I was also excited, you know, because these all allowed me to do some things that I couldn't otherwise do because I would not have had the means to do it altogether. But over the years, that excitement would have waned somewhat when on some occasions, I'm telling you this, folks, some occasions, man, you overextended yourself. And that overextension creates some kind of headache and hassles. And so my response to that was, okay, let's go get some better information to understand what we're doing and do it a little better. And you learn all the things about the different rates that are charged for different credit facilities and credit cards being among the interest rate payments you could find. And if you're going to start to pay down your debts, you want to start with a credit card because that's the one that's going to keep chewing up on a rates basis more of your funds. And so you learn things that you need to do to bring those kinds of things into control. And then now you have the means to have these credit facilities available for circumstances when they are really important and not because you're splurging consumer-wise and getting yourself into trouble. And so the idea behind these shows, the idea behind today's show, is to help you get the kind of information that keeps you out of trouble, keeps the institutions that you are engaged with out of trouble with you, and keeps the country out of trouble. And no better people to help us to get that information than representatives we have today from the Central Bank and also from the CRIF, which is the Credit Bureau Agency here in the Bahamas. And again, I want to welcome you ladies to the show. You were beginning to talk about some of the some of the reasons why so many people, they might be excited about getting a loan, might be excited about getting a credit card, but get tensed up now talking about credit management, because a lot of folk out there know things ain't things.
Right. And to your point with the story that you just shared, it's very, very important for people, because I indicated previously that the banks take a risk-based approach. It's important for individuals to also do their personal risk review or risk assessment. And some of the ways that they can do that is understand the cost of what they're borrowing. Understand the cost of the credit. Are there any fees? Know the fees. Know your interest rate. Know the repayment value. Know the date of the maturity. Ask questions. Is this a fixed rate or a variable rate? Know what's in your contract, because whenever you get a credit facility, there will be a contract that you have to sign. Know the particulars. Know the date that your credit facility is due in terms of you giving payment. Because I can even indicate to the listening audience, Mr. Lang, that under 30 days of you making a payment for your credit facility, your loan would be considered a performing loan or a current loan. When you get into that 31 to 89 day window, that's considered an arrears because you've exceeded the date in which you were supposed to contractually commit to make that payment. And anything over 90 days would be considered non-performing. And the banks will call you. Don't shield yourself from the banks or hide or evade the banks, because you have that conversation with your banker. Try and restructure that facility if your credit position allows it. Just have a conversation with the banker as opposed to evading them, because when you evade them, it gets kind of tricky. And you're obligated to pay. So it's some tips that the consumer should be aware of in terms of making sure that they remain in right standing with their bank, with their credit union, or with whichever institution that they have that relationship with.
Yeah. And Mr. Lang, I mean, it goes right back to the ombudsman, because these are the times when we get contacted, when persons find themselves in that non-performing bucket. And so, as Mrs. Campbell would have said, you know, understanding fully what your obligations are, and Ms. Nixon, I think, you know, spoke about your debt following you. I think it's important that people understand and appreciate that the debt does not go anywhere. You may have thought, oh, well, I had that credit card back when. That doesn't mean that someone paid it off for you. You know, a lot of persons are familiar with the terms, oh, it was written off, or that does not mean that you don't owe the debt. That means that the bank, in relation to its risk appetite and how they balance their sheets, may have treated that loan a certain way. It does not mean that the debt is erased. And so oftentimes persons may contact the ombudsman and they're expecting for the bank to say, okay, you know, oh yeah, that was a few years ago. It's no problem. It remains a problem. And it will be on your credit report, because the credit report is speaking to your behavior in terms of any of the loans you have taken out in the past, as well as, you know, what you might have presently. So we want persons to understand, as Mrs. Campbell has said, when you don't be afraid. You are now managing your financial future. And it's important, and you would speak up to and you would ask the questions around. Any sort of credit relationship, any sort of loan, anything of that sort, you should be comfortable having the conversations with your bank. Please, from the ombudsman standpoint, get the copies of your documents. You're entitled to have access to your own data and information. So should there be some issue, and banks make mistakes, and we all do, should there be some issue, you're able to support whatever claim you might have in terms of your complaints with documentation. And so as you sign something, just ask, may I have a copy? Can you email it to me? You know, if we're in a space now where we're environmentally conscious, so we're not printing a bunch of paper, but we can send it to your email on record with the bank or with your institution. And so be certain that you have access to those documents and read the fine print. You know, it may seem cumbersome to do so, but read the fine print, read your customer standards, because you are entitled to do so. And again, if you're managing your important financial future, you want to be certain that you have all the information that you need.
I want to add to that, it's also not just the relationship with the institution, it's with the person who gives you that loan. Understanding of that is going to be the person who's managing your portfolio as you continue through whatever term that loan is for. You need to have an understanding of who you should be able to contact. The reason being is the questions we hear or the comments we hear all the time, we don't know who to contact. When we call the bank, we get to a general person. When we go to the bank, we're referred someplace else. If somebody is running behind you to give you a loan, they should also be running behind you to give you their contact, to call them and contact them just in case you have an issue with that loan. And I do believe in having personal relationships with your institution, the banker that you are dealing with, so that you can always make those calls, because that has been an issue too. We've had people when you've had the waivers in place during natural disasters. Waivers were allowed once you contacted the bank. Some banks automatically gave them. Some did not. If you didn't call and ask for that waiver, it was not going to automatically appear. And people had no understanding of that. They said, oh, we went through something and they know what happened during this time, so this should have been done. Some banks did not automatically give those waivers. So the people who did communicate, though, I saw waivers for even over a year for some persons. So it is possible. And a waiver means that when that payment was due, it was marked as nothing on your credit report. It wasn't marked as late or on time. It wasn't even considered. If it was waived until 12 months, your loan would then pick up again after 12 months when it would start, or if you were late for the loan. So these things are very, very important. A relationship with your banker, not just your bank, is very important. And having contact information so that you can communicate with that person. If that person leaves, you should actually find out who is now going to be responsible for dealing or managing my account, so that you have an understanding of who you should reach out to, who you are creating a new relationship with, who are you continuing a relationship with, to ensure that you are managing your finances accordingly.
Two things, Mr. Lang, just to add to what Mrs. Nixon would have said, because the ombudsman often receives complaints around some of the waiver programs. A waiver is a waiver. It's a waiver for a period. You will still owe the amount that was waived. I think it's important to say that.
Yeah, that's very important for people to know.
Yeah, and some persons did not necessarily understand that during the natural disaster period, but I think it's clear now. And the banks have been good in terms of allowing you to pay that back in various forms, right? Again, this is why having that relationship with your bank and your banker is very important. I think it's also important to note that you are empowered as a consumer. You are empowered, and you know, banks are now allowing you to access information in various forms. Oftentimes, we as a culture, we are not as comfortable unless we could go in the bank. You know, I remember growing up, Mr. Lang used to dress up on a certain day. You go to the bank with your parents or your grandparents, and that was your whole day. It was a whole outing.
Don't forget your bank book,
you know, and everything. And my grandma used to, you know, make sure we had a little pocketbook ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. They were teaching you how to do these things. We've moved away from that now because the world has changed. We are now able to act at our fingertips. So you don't have to wait until you go into the bank. You know, be certain to understand where you can find information on your bank. Your customer standards are, you know, in a link on a website. You might be able to use it to speak with somebody and get answers really quickly to some of the questions you may have. It all is geared toward keeping you informed in real time. And although sometimes we look at these things, you know, we're not comfortable with change, we often have to see how it best suits us when we're trying to conduct our business. And I think, you know, a lot of the technology that's available now, it helps us be more equipped readily so in real time. And so I just want to encourage persons to use all those channels and avenues that they have in terms of accessing information. Because I know it's frustrating. I get the complaints. I talk to my countrymen and women, and I know we don't always like calling this one or calling that one because you're getting someone here and you're getting someone from there. But we do have at our fingertips oftentimes access to certain information. And it might just be a matter of getting clarity, something that you're not certain about, as opposed to waiting some long time to get the answers that you seek.
And you know, and, you know, Mr. Lang, so, if ahead. I may, yeah. Just to add to a point that
I tell you all real quickly? Boy, I want y'all to come back on this show so many times because y'all are about the few guests who the information just is flowing. Please carry on.
I just want to add to Ms. Nixon's point when she made reference to the fact that some people were unaware of the deferral program that was happening during the pandemic. Just to encourage persons at this point not to rely on secondhand information, mm-hmm. because some persons did not contact in some instances because others who they communicated with didn't contact. So go firsthand, get information firsthand from your lender. Ask the questions, because if you rely on secondhand information the majority of the time, each case is different.
Especially in financial.
Exactly.
And this is the Bahamas. That's how we do it.
And one.
Can I hear Morgan say, Richard tell me this.
Richard's situation is different from Charles' situation. So you need to speak to your banker or your lender for yourself so you can have that firsthand information. And then I want to encourage the listening audience as well. Check your monthly statements. Check your bank statements. The majority of persons now have cell phones, have apps for the different institutions, particularly the banks. When your loan is due, review it to see when your monthly payment came off. If it didn't come off, be honest. Go in and, hey, this didn't come off, because it will impact you in the long run if payments aren't made as they're supposed to be made. And so I just wanted to add that at this point. I encourage you to check those statements.
Yes, we have to go to the news break. But listen, we got so much more information, folks. And I'm going to encourage you to do something. Get a pen and piece of paper, or pens and piece of paper, because when we come back, we can talk some things you want to write down. I promise you that. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break. If you feel like you've been down the same road,
Popeyes is crushing your Super Bowl party with this tailgate special. For a limited time, purchase 18 pieces of flavored wings for just $20. And you have a chance to win a brand new 70-inch TV with soundbar. Mix and match three flavors, ghost pepper, sweet wings. Bring the heat, the crunch, and the win. So hurry in today. 18 wings for just $20. And you could score a brand new 70-inch TV with soundbar.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Ready for the biggest football game of the year, Super Bowl 60. We have the best seat in the house for you. Join Star 106.5 All-Star Team live at Anthony's on Paradise Island on Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th, from 2 to 6 p.m. Enjoy giant screens, delicious fun food, ice-cold Kalig Bear specials, prizes and surprises nonstop. It's the place to be for Super Bowl Sunday. Anthony's on Paradise Island. Watch the Patriots take on the Seahawks.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
The Star 106.5 All-Star Team will be there to cheer you on from 2 to 6 p.m. It's the biggest Sunday of the year for the biggest game of the year. Super Bowl 60, live at Anthony's on Paradise Island. Don't miss it.
The Patriots!
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. If you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we are here with representatives of the Central Bank of the Bahamas and the CRIF, which you better known for you as our credit bureau agency. And we're talking about credit management today. This is the continuing series of shows we are doing on personal financial management. And we have with us today in the studio, Mrs. Ambrosine Higgs, Financial Services Ombudsman. And we're going to talk about what an ombudsman's office is in this regard. She's with the Office of the Financial Services Ombudsman. We have Mrs. Latasha Campbell, Assistant Manager, External Relations Unit, with a focus on prudential behavior in terms of credit management. And then we have Marissa Nixon, General Manager of the CRIF. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, it's important, I think, for people to be aware. Anyone can find themselves in credit challenges. Things happen. People lose jobs. Businesses that they depend on for income fail. People can have health issues that can absolutely devastate their finances, major health issues. You can have the loss of a loved one who was a major income producer for the family. You can have marital separation or divorce that can change financial circumstances of people. You can have the natural disasters that can impact the economy and therefore impact individuals and businesses and their incomes as a consequence. Just any host of things can temporarily or for sustained periods of time produce challenges. And it is in those circumstances where the advice that we were hearing before we took the break is so important, communicating with your financial bank officer or the financial institutions person that might be managing your credit facility, not ducking or dodging people, but actually facing the issue head on. Sometimes very hard decisions have to be made about how to move forward. And this is part and parcel of living in a world where there are uncertainties and dynamisms that can impact your circumstances. And so it's important for people to know we can make bad decisions. We can make absolutely just terrible decisions that also impact our circumstances. And sometimes there are consequences to be paid for that. This is the life in the world in which we live. And running and hiding and ducking and dodging ain't gonna fix that. Sometimes you can't do anything about what you can't do anything about. And you just have to keep communicating and working on producing a situation that might, in fact, deliver you into a better circumstance. Did I say anything just now that didn't make sense, ladies?
All sense, Mr. Lang, and I'm happy you said it.
Agreed. Yes. Very valid points.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we have some text, some that I'm going to read first because people have some questions, but I also wanted to mention something related to what you all said. You talked about keeping that information on your credit facilities, your loans, etc. You know, I have a textbook. I mean, not a textbook, a notebook, on which I handwrite those things. I have it on computer too, but computers have issues when there's no power, internet or something like that. So I have it written down, all of those things right close to each other, so I can see all the loans, all the credit facilities, all the terms, what the account number is in case I need to call somebody and so forth, because I want to keep track. Also, you know, everybody isn't familiar with how to use a spreadsheet, but for those who can, let me tell you something. It could be immensely helpful, especially when you lay your budget out on there, mm-hmm. and you lay all your loan portfolio and information out on there, et cetera. And you can set up your own formulas that calculate your debt service ratio so mm-hmm. that you can. I once sent some information to the bank. The bank said to me, "Say, you really is a former minister." to do.
Right.
Because it's important for me to know. So forget anybody else. It's important for me to know what my circumstances are. Because when you get 58 and you turn in 60 and then 65 and 70, you have to know where your situation is going to be at any given point in time.
Yes. And Mr. Lang, you would be surprised how many persons seem to, you know, set it and forget it. Even in terms of some of the facilities you hold, you know, some of your fixed deposit facilities, et cetera, mm-hmm. check on those things. You don't have to mm-hmm. do it every week. But certainly annually, if you're doing a financial health check annually, you know, you're setting your budget for the year, you know, just go into your banker, the one you would have built the relationship with as guided by Mrs. Nixon, and just say, you know, I'm just checking on this. You should be getting certain statements. If you've not gotten them, most of them are sent to your email now or electronically. But if you've, for some reason, not seen them in a while, reach out to your bank. I've not seen a statement. I'd like to come in and just be certain that things are as they should be. You'd be surprised how many persons get to some change in life and would not have, you know, known or had any sort of idea of where they were because they've just not been doing the checks. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if you have been and there's been some miscommunication or, you know, some information. Those things can be resolved so long as you have your data and your information, as you would have said. But if you've not checked in with the bank over 20 years and now you're coming and saying, oh, well, I thought I had this in place, I think it's important for the public to know. And I'm always saying to consumers who contact the ombudsman's office, by law, and Latasha may be willing to speak a bit more to this, but by law, banks are only retaining information for a certain period of time. So that's something else you have to be aware of. You know, if your relationship has ceased with the bank after a certain period of time, they're not no longer going to have records. And so you might, you know, find yourself saying, well, I recall that I had this in place or that in place, but you're just coming now for assistance. And again, you know, this is some 20-year-old facility. So, you know, you can't expect for those records to be around when by law, from a data protection standpoint and from a retention period standpoint, banks are only returning. So I want the listening public to be aware of that. You know, your financial health is your business. You know, this is your business. And just as you would be concerned with any other thing that's crucially important to you, you should be concerned with, you know, where are all your assets? You know what date your statements come out. If you're missing a statement, you've not heard from that. Because some of us are very rich, Mr. Lang. And so, you know, sometimes we forget about it. But we must not.
Yeah, we got too much money. You know what I mean?
And I wish that for all your listeners and us in the studio as well, you know. But we're going to be some of those responsible persons who, even though we are wealthy in every way, we're keeping track of our wealth so that we can be prepared for any shock.
And one of the important reasons to do it is, and I've seen this far too often, is, you know, things happen, people pass on. And one of the things that really made me decide, you know, you need to keep your affairs in order was, if you die, I don't want my kids scrambling and trying to figure out what is what, who daddy owed, what daddy had, et cetera. You know, you don't want to leave your loved ones with that kind of responsibility, your spouse. You want to be able to say, yes, see the book right over there, see the envelope right over there. Yeah. By the way, this is the file that I have on the computer, and this is how you get in there, and this is what you'll find when you get there. And people then can maneuver so that they can then move on more smoothly in the midst of their grieving.
And to add to Amber Zane's point, when she spoke about the retention period, I could just add here that after a 7-year period, banks are required to send any accounts in terms of savings, facilities, fixed deposits, they are required to send those to the central bank.
You mean all if they're not performing?
Yeah, if they're dormant.
The dormant accounts. I'm referring to dormant accounts.
Right.
And so it's a 7-year period for the funds themselves to be remitted to the central bank. I can add here, because the topic today is not necessarily on dormant accounts, but I can add and let the listening audience know that the central bank is planning to have a learning series on dormant accounts, and that's going to be slated for the month of March. And so I'll encourage you to log on to our website at www.centralbankbahamas.com, and you'll have all the information there for when we are finalized when we're having that dormant account session for all those who want to listen in and to learn more about dormant accounts, how it works when it comes to process in terms of you getting your funds once it's remitted to the central bank. So I just wanted to add that at this juncture.
Super. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Okay. My ladies, how you all doing?
We're well.
Great.
Good. Thank you.
Very well. January 1980, I moved in my house. And I paid deductible to the bank from 80 to 83. Then I retired from this organization and I went to another organization. And I finished paying off the mortgage in 9 years. So from 83 to 92, I paid off the mortgage. I spoke with someone and the person said, the mortgage what I got when I signed off on was, it was a 20 years. And if I pay it before 20 years, no refund. And if I pay it in 20 years, God bless you. I paid off in 92. Any questions, dear ladies? Hello.
Well, yeah, hi, but you said any refund? What do you mean by refund?
All right, refund. Mm. Hello, my ladies.
A refund from paying off your mortgage, sir?
I had a 20-year down one, right?
Yes, sir. So you made principal payments on that mortgage?
Oh, I doubled up on it.
Yeah. Okay, on the instructions that it shouldn't be done.
That's
or
I didn't follow up.
Sorry?
That's what I spoke with this chap, and he said the contract I signed was I could pay it off in 20 years or before 20 years.
Okay.
I paid off in 9 years.
Congratulations to you. So did you get your satisfaction documents?
No, because I didn't investigate it. I took the person's word for it.
So we didn't get your name, but we're so happy that you called. But if you would have taken out a certain amount and you would have doubled up on your payments to pay down that amount and the interest that was contracted around that amount, then you wouldn't be entitled to a refund, right? But you would be entitled to what Ms. Campbell was talking about, your collateral documents and what we call a satisfaction of mortgage. And that, there's a process at each bank in order to get that satisfaction of mortgage. But let's say you borrowed $100 and you would have, on your mortgage agreement, there's also so much interest you pay over the course of that term. But some of that interest is reduced if you double up on those payments, like you said. So let's just say in total, you end up paying $150, but you paid that off in 9 years, which is excellent. You wouldn't be entitled to anything back because you would have borrowed a principal amount and you would have paid it back, notwithstanding the time in which you did. Now, what you ought to do to ensure that, you know, there's no record of you having anything outstanding is to ensure that you get what we call a satisfaction of mortgage. And usually that requires you to ensure that your real property taxes or any taxes to the government are paid off, or any outstanding debts that you have with that bank are also paid off. Because most often your mortgage agreement is tied to all your other credit agreements. So before the bank could give you your satisfaction and say, okay, thank you, Mr. So-and-so, we're happy that you're done with us. You've paid off the government their real property tax. You present a real property tax receipt showing nil balance or that you have some arrangement in terms of any outstanding arrears on your real property taxes. And then you get what is known as a satisfaction document. And most often the banks will require you as the individual holding that satisfaction to file that in the Registrar General's office. So I'm not certain, you know, what you're speaking about in terms of a refund, because there would not be any refund attaching to your mortgage. But certainly you should be ensuring that you've tied off any loose ends and that you're holding your property now freehold. There's no encumbrance on it. Okay, so, and that you get all your collateral documents back. That's your title, your documents. People say in your black and white, you have that back from the bank.
Right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi. Hey, yes. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon to your guests as well. You know, I, you know, when you were talking about knowing affairs, you know, I was in a financial institution about 40-odd years ago, and, we had so many dormant accounts. And I don't know if you remember, just several years ago, you know, those funds, I think, were turned over to the central bank. A couple of years ago, the government borrowed like $17 million, I think, or thereabout, from the dormant account fund. So I'm wondering about, I mean, that people are working for, leaving their funds for the government to take control of?
That's a good question, Mr. Lang. And I'm so happy that Ms. Campbell mentioned the dormant in education initiative that we have coming up, because one of the engagements the ombudsman office sees quite often is around dormant accounts. So I'll just speak to it briefly, as brief as we could. As Ms. Campbell would have said,
You could speak briefly to it, but you got an invitation come March to come on the show and speak to it for a couple hours if you want to.
Well, Mr. Lang, whenever you want me, you know I will come.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, so with the dormant accounts, you know, once your account has been inactive, usually what happens is you may have an inactive account for about a year. That goes to what we call the inactive account. Usually a bank will try to reach out to you. It's, you know, you're readily able to sort of reactivate that account. But if you've left it, you know, beyond that year period for some 7 years, you know, there's been no engagement, no activity on the account. And sort of automatic taxes and that sort of thing do not count as activity. That's something we should say, because a lot of people think that, oh, well, they're still taking tax from it. That's a government stamp tax, Mr. Langen. So that it doesn't count, right? That account has been dormant in the central bank, but the central bank is also mandated by law after a certain period to turn those funds over to the treasury. And I don't think people understand or appreciate that. Once those funds go to the treasury, you ain't getting those funds back no more. Right? But in the interim period, there is an interim period, and it doesn't go to the treasury automatically unless it's under $500. If the dormant amount that's coming to the central bank is under $500, that goes to the treasury right away. Mm. But if it's over $500, it's with central bank for some time, and you are able to recoup those funds. But now, here's the thing. The central bank does not receive those funds with your name attached to it. So, Mr. Lang, there's a dormant account. His bank sends it over. All we know is that X dollars are coming from this dormant account facility at this particular bank. Is why, again, keeping your records and your financial health awareness matters so much. When you approach your bank now and you said, well, I had funds here for about 30 years. I moved away. I didn't look back at it. They might be dormant. Can you assist me? You should be able to walk into your bank and say, well, here's the account number. Here's the last statement I had on the account. You know, I traveled for 15 years, but here is where we're at. Your bank is responsible for filling out a dormant reclamation form and sending that to the central bank. Because, again, the central bank only knows that we receive so much money on such and such a date from such and such a bank. We don't know that that money was attached to Ambrosine Higgs. And so when your bank assists you in filling out that form, again, they may not have kept records now because they would have sent this 12 years ago. And so their record retention period is up. But certainly if you have your account number, that's a start. And so they're able to send that on, and they might have a dormant account record that they keep in terms of when they would have sent certain amounts over the central bank during the period. Then some reconciliation can take place, and as best as is able, you know, you try to match those funds now with that reclamation form. Mm. Those funds are then sent back to the bank. You know, the central bank, we deal in money, but we don't deal with personal accounts. So those amounts are sent back to the bank, and they will then give you your funds, okay? And I think people, you know, have to understand that that's the process and why it's so important, again, to keep these records and to check on your money. Check on your money. Don't be afraid to check on your money. It's your money.
But hold on. This is live now. Let me ask you all a question. I'm 58 years old. I ain't never been in a situation where I get up money just sitting around.
Mr. Lang, it is. What? Mr. Lang, I just think about it, every time I get the calls. But, like I say, some of our people are so rich, we got things on
the go. I'm telling you, man. $200, and the girl just called talking about she needed in Toronto.
I'm always amazed, that people would leave monies, out there. But then things happen, like you would have said.
Yes, of course.
Never know what may have happened that may have caused someone to sort of, be interrupted in terms of their management of their affairs. And so...
You could get ill and not...
Exactly.
You might not be able to deal with anything
People suffer
strokes, people suffer paralysis.
Exactly. But,
That's why keeping the records while you could.
Mr. Lang, and having your affairs as in order as you can, it just aids you in the long run.
Man, you ever get on a phone call and the people them say, could you give me the account number? And you really got the what? The account number. I need the account number. Phone call dead. Because you don't have this information readily available.
Yep. And I find
even people with you, if you produce a will, your will doesn't have details of the things that you say you are trying to pass along to your family members. That could be a problem too. So don't tell them, I have an account of First Caribbean or Royal or Scotia or Commonwealth and them, Fidelity and them, and you could have it. What am I going to go to them and say?
Exactly.
Okay, so we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, great show as usual, Mr. Lang, your guest. How you doing?
Thank you, my friend.
Great, man. Yeah, I'm super glad your guest is here, right? Because I always had a urging question I always want to ask Central Bank, right? Why does wire transfer work? The reason why I'm asking this, right, the bank opens at basically 9:30, right? And anyone who conducts business in wire transfers know, right, by 12, 1 o'clock, only 3 people get served through a wire transfer. So the funds don't get sent over till the next day, which causes a lot of problems in business. You will find that that's actually counterproductive while doing business for it to be cut off at 1 o'clock.
So thank you, caller, for that question. So banks at the end of the day have to do what we call a reconciliation. Those remittances are passed through the RTGS system, which is our real-time gross settlement system, and everything with that system basically works with time. So it can vary across institutions in terms of the timing possibly of you having to complete a remittance. But I could encourage you at this point to give yourself a 2-day or 3-day business day window if you want to go in and conduct a transaction so you don't be pressed for time for those funds reaching whoever your beneficiary is. But it varies across institutions in terms of the timing there.
Their back office will have to reconcile.
And you have to reconcile, and it has to go through the system. So avoid being rushed or it being an urgent matter as much as you can, and try to give yourself some lead time so it can be processed.
Right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was in a situation where I have got a loan, right? I had finished paying for the loan, but I went back and extended something else on the loan. Now, what has happened is I did my human resource into my accounts department at work. Now, apparently, they're supposed to be paying these people X amount of money per month out of my salary, like how they did the first time. Come to find out that I had got a summons stating that I didn't pay nothing on this next loan that I got. So I then had to go to court. I went into the court. We came to an agreement on what I could pay per month. So I said, okay, no problem. I run across some money. So I end up paying 3 times the amount that I did agree to pay them per month. 3 times per month, three times what I was supposed to pay them. I paid them over per month. Then I went into this place to find out what my balance looked like. They can't tell me. At the court, they're supposed to stop paying, charging me interest on this money. They're still charging me interest on the money until I finish paying them. And then they'll give me my money. Does that sound like sense?
Well, it does sound like there may be some discrepancy, but, you know, for our part, it's not something that the ombudsman would necessarily be able to support you with, only because it's a legal, it has become a legal matter, right? So yes. Mr. Lang had asked earlier about, you know, where the ombudsman fits in and what we do. We do take on these sorts of complaints related to your financial service provider, those regulated by the central bank in particular. But once it becomes a legal matter, you know, anything within the court space, the court has an unfettered jurisdiction.
Okay,
so you may need to speak with your attorney around...
I spoke with somebody of legal mind.
Yeah.
He told me stop paying it and let them take me back to court and then explain what they're doing to the magistrate. Because right down to as far as the interest, that's what's a stop.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in to speak with the person, they're showing the person that I take him with me, the justice of the peace, that they're still charging me interest on his money.
Yeah.
You still owe us some money?
I was paying three times that.
But you still...
They'd agree to accept from me.
But you still owe a sum of money?
I don't know. They can't tell. Every time I ask them with the balance, they're telling me they'll get back to me. But yeah, they still just call me every now and again, say I ain't made no payment for 6 months.
I understand.
I already paid over what I borrowed. I know you pay interest in everything. I know all of that. And then there, I got into the situation where I thought the money was being paid. I had to pay up something on that. But I feel like I've been paying forever, and they still can't tell me every time I ask them for my balance. They can't tell me what I owe them.
We can't litigate it here. We can't do much more than the guidance you got just now. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Pay our respects to our great sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back right after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including VAT. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the 6-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Boost your buying power. Rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Public transportation drivers,
start your day the smart way.
Roca's gas station.
Get a whopping 12 cents per gallon off diesel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's unheard of. But it's true. Roka's loyalty card saves you money. And it's free.
Get yours now.
On the spot.
Wide entrance.
Multiple pumps. No congestion.
In and out fast.
The Malawala Highway and Faith Avenue.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news. Smart talk. All day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. We still have the call on the line. Okay, we want you to know we have representatives of the Central Bank and the CRIF, the Credit Bureau Agency for the Bahamas. We're talking about credit management, getting some great information. Let me read some of your texts. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Can you ask your guest to clarify if she said that if a financial institution must seek the central bank's guidance if an individual exceeds the TDSR in order to extend additional credit?
So thank you for that. It could be special restrictions. So the guidelines indicates that the TDSR shouldn't exceed the 50%. But if an institution has a client or clients where it can exceed it or it's borderline for exceeding it, they would have to come to the central bank for the central bank to give guidance in terms of how they can proceed.
And in some instances, there are oftentimes, I'm aware from a previous life, where banks may have certain promotions or they're targeting a certain demographic. There's a need. You know, Mr. Lang mentioned one particular bank was doing a special promotion on computers. You know, there was this altruistic sort of intent around getting people computer literate probably at the time.
Exactly, yes. And yes, so, early, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in those sorts of instances, the bank may need to seek the central bank's guidance or non-objection around some credit ratio extension or allowance because the dealing with, may not fall within the regulation. So there are specific instances, depending on, what the circumstances are, where, that sort of guidance may have to be sought from our supervision department, the inspectorate.
And I can add too that in some instances with some institutions, if a customer perhaps has already exceeded that 50%, but they are coming into an institution trying to get a restructuring or a consolidation of that loan, but the overall picture at the end put them in a better financial position, an institution can consider that. And again, they come to us and they can leverage to get an appreciation of where the central bank would go in that vein with a particular individual. So I just wanted to add that too. So there have been instances where you perhaps have an individual who exceeds it, but it betters their financial position, overall picture.
We have a question here. Ask the central bank why they get away with giving us no interest on deposits and lending it to us at 8%.
Mr. Lang, I can't say here that we have our credit unions, and we have some credit unions who are open bond, meaning that any employed citizen or Bahamian can walk in and open a facility to have a savings account with them. And again, as we indicated before, in terms of shopping around with the banks for credit facilities, we could encourage them to shop around with the credit unions to see from the open ones, what is the best fit for them in terms of an interest rate, and they can get their savings going with a credit union.
I said on the show before, Mr. Lang, and I don't know if you recall, because I think it may have been a bit controversial at the time, but you know, the bank doesn't set fees and rates. The bank is a regulator who is geared toward encouraging financial inclusion and ensuring that there is a market space that allows for that. So the bank is not dictating, what fees and rates should be, because then you come upon or against, what is really a liberal market, right? What do you want to see in your market? And so I think persons should be aware that, the bank doesn't dictate what those rates look like. We dictate generally prudential rules around risk and ensuring that, your balance sheet looks a certain way. But we don't set those rates. And so I think, to Ms. Campbell's point, our consumers are encouraged to shop around. And don't be afraid to negotiate if you are in a strong position. And that's why financial wellness and health is important, because then you can say, this person is offering me this. I want to bring my business here. I've been with you for 20 years. What's the rate that you can give me in terms of this facility? But you gotta be, and Mr. Lang, you would know this from a business perspective, you have to be negotiating from a strong position.
Absolutely. We live in a free enterprise system, which everybody loves until they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Free enterprise means the government does not, in the main, control prices and pricing, etc.
Right.
So you and I, we go build these apartments. The government don't say you could only charge this amount of rent.
Mm-hmm.
We set up a financial institution in the government. The central bank does not say you have to charge this fee and that fee and the next thing. So it's a free enterprise scenario, mm-hmm. as you indicated, and when it comes to the rates that they charge for deposits and interest, you just have to shop around, as we were told. Shop around, look around, look at your alternative. Sometimes the alternative is outside the banking system, because maybe the central bank has bonds and what have you that are better.
That is true, Mr. Lang. That is true.
You can use and so forth and so forth. Maybe there's a mutual fund out there that a brokerage firm can help you invest in that gets you a better rate for some money you don't need right now. And so we just have to shop around. Folk, this is in an age of intellectualism and choice, we have got to not be lazy in doing the work we need to do to put ourselves in the best position to be in. We can't keep thinking the government is going to protect us, the central bank is going to protect us in the spaces where we have choices to make.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that. This text says, good afternoon, timely show. I had a credit card default on payment, was sued by a credit collection company. I satisfied that payment out of court. Is this on my credit profile? And if so, can it be removed?
Yes. Can you repeat that again for me?
So this is what they said. They said they had a credit card. They defaulted on the payment. They were sued by a credit collection company. They satisfied the payment out of court, and that is going on their credit profile, and can they get it removed?
It's based on if it can be removed once that third party didn't sell the loan to the creditor. So you have third parties that work along with financial institutions that collect money on their behalf. When they collect it, you're supposed to receive a letter from that institution. And they're also supposed to send a letter to the bank so that that information can be removed. Another thing, though, you also have institutions that sell their loans. Now, if they sold the loan, the problem is now you should be paying the third party who would have purchased the loan. So, again, you would need a letter. You would need to communicate with that third party who would have purchased the loan from the institution and verify that this would also be covered at the institution to be removed from your portfolio as a bad debt. To have that done, you can come into us directly and you can actually file a dispute with the credit bureau so that we can do all of this on your behalf. However, we do need you to still have the attached information for us to file with your dispute when reaching out to that lending institution. So you would need to have that letter in hand to show that you have paid off that debt.
Okay. This text says, and you'll need to listen to this one. Mr. Lang, what happens if a loan officer lends you more than you need years ago and inflates your TDSR, and your income now decreases, and now your TDSR is too high, but now the same for their required monthly payments and won't assist? Does the credit bureau assist with this?
We can't directly assist with that. We would advise you. So you can make appointments to receive advice from myself. What I would say in that interim, you definitely need to have an understanding that you still decided to sign that promissory note for more than you were approved for.
Mm-hmm.
Or more that you set out to receive. Sorry, not more that you were approved for, more that you set out to receive. When you decided to take more money than you went and applied to the bank for, you now took on the responsibility. So first, onus is very responsible, being responsible and saying that, yes, I took this loan on. Things have happened since, and now I need to reorganize this loan. If he's saying the institution isn't working with him to arrange those payments, he can also still look into another institution that may be willing to assist. The best way we can assist would be, again, the only thing we can do is if he decides to file a dispute to say that he wants to possibly dispute the amount of the loan or the payment history of the loan, we could file that on his behalf to somehow flag the account to say that this person currently is disputing the arrears that they have on their account while he is actually trying to have another institution assist him with reorganizing that loan so that he can probably get that loan reorganized with another institution. But there's really no way we can actually help with him paying or the loan is paid off. What we do is we try to call banks to find out who would be willing to assist or speak to the persons responsible at that bank. But we would have to know the full situation. I don't want to just give an answer based on what you gave to me.
But
I would try my best to assist how I could
I was just saying, so TDSR is something you're paying attention to because you want to keep be in a position to borrow.
Exactly, yeah.
But borrowing caused you to be in the position you're in. So really, it's not your TDSR you want to be concerned about.
No.
It's being able to manage this debt so that you can lower it to the point of your comfort with having and holding that debt.
Yeah,
so we're focused on the right thing. Since this is financial management, you can get help, the help that the Bureau can provide with trying to get someone who can lower the payment, because that could be helpful to cash flow. But helpful to cash flow is not a question of TDSR. It's a question of manageability of payment. So if you can manage the payment, and that'll help get the debt down eventually. But, you know, so be focused on what the real problem is. And the real problem is you lost income. Maybe the payment is less comfortable than it used to be. And what it is you're really trying to accomplish is comfort in terms of your cash flow position. True or true, not true, ladies?
Very true.
Correct.
This text says, from my experience, clients are interrogated when requesting information about their own account, especially loan account. It is offensive and deeply troubling. Who should clients contact when they are not given requested information about their account? The bank I'm referring to does not provide loan account information online.
They can contact the ombudsman, and our email address is info@fsobahamas.com. You are entitled to your information.
You are a crazy bank if you ain't trying to cooperate to give people
you
information.
You are entitled to your information.
Crazy bank.
I, you know, it's unfortunate, and we've had these sorts of complaints.
That's crazy.
But I often encourage people, because before you come to the ombudsman, you should, as best as possible, exhaust the avenues within the commercial banks around having your dispute or concern addressed. So if you go into a bank and a teller or a service agent is giving you some sort of trouble, politely, because see, sometimes Mr. Lang, when we escalation, we just get feisty. But let's politely just ask to speak with the assistant manager or manager. Most banks, they have an assistant manager of sales and services. That's who you want to speak with, or an assistant manager of personal banking. And you keep it calm and keep it cute, like the young people say.
I'm sure you can get help.
You know, you just ask for, I'm asking for my loan information. I'm being told that I can't see it for whatever reason. Be certain that I have access to my data. And you shouldn't, there shouldn't be any pushback or concern. It's your data. It's your information.
So let's avoid this problem for some people, though. Let's avoid this problem for some people. So some people are already in that problem, but let's avoid this. On that day when you got that loan, they give you documents that you sign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have that document, put that in an envelope or a file. You can keep that with you. Also, ask them if you can get an amortization table, or if you don't know, they don't give you one, you can have somebody calculate it for you. And you keep that on hand, because that'll tell you month by month, year by year, where your loan should be if your loan payments are being made in the right way.
That is correct. Yes. I feel the grievance of the caller, because I do know that, some banks are concerned from a competition standpoint.
And that's crazy.
Some of the information being requested is, because the person is interested in perhaps going somewhere else. But I would take this opportunity to encourage, my partners in the industry. Competition will be competition wherever you go. So if you have customers coming in and asking for this information, use that as an opportunity. Use that as an opportunity to pulse check with your customer and ensure that you're rolling out the red carpet for every and each customer, because it's an opportunity, and we shouldn't shy away, to the caller's point, we shouldn't shy away from engaging our customers in a way to show that we still the premier institution for you to stay with. So I hear the caller's grievance, but don't be afraid and don't be timid in terms of the escalation. Just always remember to keep the conversation. But where that you're still having a headwind, you can feel free to reach out to the ombudsman office.
This text says, "Hi, Mr. Lang and guest. Question: I paid off for my house before time, and I know when you do, they normally give you some funds back. Now, that was in 2002 at Finco Bank. Just curious to know if I was entitled to some money back, because the bank said I wasn't. My loan was only $27,500.
Yeah,
where are we getting this information from, but money back after you pay off a loan?
A contract would tell you exactly what the terms and conditions is for any credit facility.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know exactly what is in that particular caller's contract, but from a general perspective, you don't get money back when you have paid off a loan. From generally speaking,
I'm 58 years old, into many facilities with many banks. I don't know one who say, "Lang, if you pay this off early, I'm gonna give you a couple dollars back."
No. Some of those contracts have embedded that you get a penalty if you pay back early.
That's correct. And some of them speak to you only being able to pay so much over a certain amount every year. So
now there are some loans where, like a car loan or something, where they say if you borrow for the car, they'll give you like $1,000 back. But that's not after the loan. That's part of the promotion.
Right. And you usually...
Are you paying for that?
You're paying for that. Yes. So oftentimes, persons had a promotion, we will pay your legal fees, or you have less to pay down because we're going to add this to it. Yeah. That is still calculated in that total amount that you borrow, and you're still going to pay interest on that total amount. So I tend externally to say to persons, listen, only take what you need. I would never say don't borrow, because oftentimes it's a way to do business and to get things done that you need to get done. But only take what you need. If you could pay the bells and the whistles in the background, your legal fees or this fee, your insurance, if you're being offered an insurance product, again, these are businesses, and you know that you could get a better insurance product for your house insurance somewhere else, you pay that yourself and make sure you advise your bank annually that your insurance is paid. Don't wait for the bank, because it's in your mortgage contract that they are allowed to secure their interests in a property that they have lent you monies on. But don't wait for them to put the insurance on, and then, you know, we having a conversation later down the road about how high the insurance was. You wasn't able to pay. It was an add-on charge, and now you owe them more monies on this amount that they had to put to cover their interest in your property. So, you know, these, again, are just financial wellness tips that we want people to keep in mind, where you can pay for any of the bells and whistles that you need. You know, you pay for it, and you only take from any lender what it is that you absolutely certain and sure of the terms. Have those with you, you know, as you manage your affairs.
This text says, good day, and thanks, Mr. Lang, for enlightening us on the matter of dormant account. Funnily, I had a small savings and did check it for 6 months. When I went to check online, the whole account was missing. I had to go to the branch to ensure that my money is placed back. I felt hoodwinked, but fortunately to know I had the ability to argue my point. People need to keep a watch for what they have worked for. That's what we said.
Confirming what we said.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This text says, good afternoon. Can you advise if the prepayment penalty is still lawful?
Back to the contract.
Exactly.
What does your contract say? And see, sometimes persons be excited to get that approval, be excited to get the funds, whatever it is that they secured in a credit facility, and they neglect to read. They're quick to sign, but neglect to read. So we want to encourage the listening audience, encourage the public, read those contracts. If you have any questions, ask those questions. Escalate, as Amberzine indicated previously. If you're not being satisfied with the answers you're getting, or if you're not getting answers at all, escalate until you have those questions answered. And if, like she said, if you've exhausted, then come to her office, the Financial Services Ombudsman Office, so you can get clarity and understanding of exactly what you're getting yourself into. Because you need to know. You're going to be held liable. So you need to know.
I want to add, Mr. Lang, that it is at the beginning of your relationship, but it's also imperative, I have to reiterate, that you do it throughout your relationship. Because oftentimes relationships change, like any other relationship. So something has happened, you know, something has changed. If something has been restructured, you have to get those documents too. We can't look at day one documents because those terms have changed, right? So you want to be sure that you're keeping a pulse on your relationship throughout that relationship. Like any relationship, 20 years, 30 years, you can't just get married day one and that's it, you know?
We are plumb out of time, but y'all got to promise to come back. I'm going to send a note. You got to come back. Y'all don't need one day. Y'all need 2 days.
And make sure to get more information.
So very much, ladies. We appreciate you. Appreciate your information. Thank you to Central Bank and to the CRIF.
You're welcome, and thank you for having us.
Yes, and make sure to go to crif.com.bs for more information on the credit report.
And I know I didn't get some of your texts in, but I tell you, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back again tomorrow. Y'all do well. If you feel like-